Well, hey there, and welcome back to another episode of Corinth in Your Car. We've been saying that for a long time now, and we are glad to be around the table kind of together. Today, I'm with Josh and with Adam. We'll do a check-in real quick. Just give me a highlight from this past week to start our time together today.
Hey, our Kansas City Chiefs, man.
They won.
In the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
6 years in a row.
6 years.
6 years in a row.
That's impressive.
Oh, yeah.
Hardly anyone has done a streak that long.
No, only Tom Brady to date. Yep. So we're now have the second longest streak.
Yeah, longest streak.
Yeah, the 49ers did it a long time ago in the 90s, I think. 80s and 90s with Joe Montana, Steve Young.
Yep.
Five times. Yeah. Andy Reid's Eagles did five times, but as far as like one quarterback,
right?
It was Stabler at five, now Mahomes at six, and Brady's is at eight.
Yeah. Yep. And of course.
He's only 28 years old.
Yeah, he's only 28 years old. Apparently the worst season of his career, and yet he's still in the AFC Championship game. So that's a highlight.
Obviously, he's the best, but really the defense is what
great.
I mean,
the defense
this year carried great Chiefs a lot of games.
Best defense in the NFL?
It is.
Maybe even better than the Ravens?
We will find out. By the time people are listening to this, they will know.
I know, and so will we. And you'll know based on our moods how that one went. And so. Yeah, I'm nervous about this weekend. Looking ahead at the Ravens game, but it's a football game, you know. There's every football game.
Any given Sunday is a reason, right?
It is an oblong ball.
Yeah,
that bounces funny. So yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Maybe you could fumble it on the 1 yard line at the back of the end zone for a touchback.
Yeah,
you never know what'll happen. But
for instance,
just random scenario that I've cooked up in my mind. Yeah,
would you take that rule out of the game if you could?
No, but I did hear that the NFL is wanting to extend the field goal post after the Bills missed their field goal and change those rules for next season.
See, I heard that they
lost in overtime to us.
I just heard they were going to eliminate kickers.
No kickers anymore.
No kickers anymore because it's just not fair to the Bills.
Okay. There we go. And Josh, you also have a team
still playing. We squeaked by. They didn't deserve to win, but they did. So
there you go.
Happy about that. Yeah.
Mr. Irrelevant with a game-winning drive. So, mainly just hand the ball to Christian McCaffrey.
He went 6 for 7.
Okay.
On that drive, he didn't throw the ball well earlier at all.
So what I'm saying is this is one of the things that was pointed out this week. So the year that the Chiefs and the Niners matched up in the Super Bowl, Mahomes versus Garoppolo, that NFC Championship game that the Niners won by like 14 or 17 points, Jimmy Garoppolo threw the ball 8 times.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
The other time it was just running.
So, it was Raheem Mostert, I think,
back then, running back.
Yep. And, he went off. And, I mean, what are you going to do? Like, if you can't stop it, then keep running it. So, I didn't have a problem with that.
Yeah. I love it. Cool. So, we've all got some highlights from the past week regarding football. That's fun. What are you looking forward to this upcoming week? Apart from also another football
sunshine.
Game. Maybe I'll get to
How
watch more
that?
Football.
I'm looking forward to sunshine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be nice.
Back.
It's nasty out right now.
Yeah, in the middle of a 3 or 4 day stretch of just wet
fog. Yesterday was a lot of fog.
Man, I'm soaking wet right now still. I just came from outside, CLC stuff.
Yep.
My socks are damp.
Yep.
No doubt. So that is what we're looking forward to.
Give it some sunshine.
Some sunshine.
No more seasonal affective disorder.
No more. Yeah. Yeah. That'll be nice.
Uh-huh.
I had something that I, when I wrote that question, I had something that I was going to talk about, but I don't think I remember it.
So
it wasn't important.
Do they call it that because it's sad? Did they do that on purpose?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to Superstar this weekend with the kiddos.
Oh, fun.
It'll be fun. Great.
You'll have Naya there with you.
Yeah. I'm going to hang out with some of the fifth graders and get to know them a little bit because not too long after they'll be kind of making their way over to the theme room. So
that's right.
It's going to be a fun weekend there. And then I've got to figure out what to do about this Chiefs game because it starts at 3 o'clock and I'll be at the church with the middle schoolers from kind of like 4 to 7. So I need to.
It's the worst time.
I need to kind of know
that game.
Figure out how I want to navigate watching that or not watching that and learning about scores and stuff. Haven't made a decision yet, but
just throw an episode of The Chosen on or two, and then you just hang out in your office and
hey,
watch
kids, VeggieTales today.
Yeah.
No, it'll be good. Hey, let's do a quick round of this, super quick, which means no explanation at all. You just say it, this or that. Okay.
Ready.
All right. Mountains or beach?
Mountains.
Beach.
Converse or Vans?
Converse.
Converse.
Pie or cake?
Pie.
Pie.
Whole milk or 2% milk?
Almond.
2%.
So basically not whole milk, Adam, is what you said there. Longhorn Steakhouse or Texas Roadhouse?
Texas. Yeah, Texas.
Okay. Apple or Android?
Apple.
Coffee or
coffee.
Tea?
Coffee.
Waffles or pancakes?
Waffles.
Waffles.
McDonald's or Wendy's?
Wendy's. Wendy's.
Old Testament or New Testament?
Both.
They're all important.
Yeah.
But you have a preference of what you read, right?
No.
No? Okay, well, I do. I prefer the New Testament. I like reading the New Testament more.
Yeah, it depends on where I am.
It's probably more familiar,
yeah.
But I'm learning to appreciate the old.
The old is awesome, too.
Yeah.
It's awesome, too. Let me throw a couple more out there. Hot chocolate with water or hot chocolate with milk?
Milk.
None. I don't know the last time
you
I had
hot chocolate. It has to be.
Yeah, I would think so. I don't know the last time I had hot chocolate, though.
Yeah, okay, cool. All right, Chiefs or Ravens?
Chiefs.
Is pick. Who's your pick?
Oh, who's the pick?
Sorry, it's not preference. I pick. Who's your pick? Chiefs or Ravens?
It's hard to pick against the Chiefs.
Yep, that's where I am.
I mean, it's just they've been there so much.
Number 15.
It'll probably be a really good game.
There we go.
I hope it's not.
Yeah.
I hope we are.
Everybody hopes that. Though.
Yeah. Yeah, but it'll be close.
Yeah.
Cool. Very good. All right. It is good to be together. We're working through a series right now called Habits. A great series to start off the new year, I don't know. Do you feel like we've kind of gotten to the end of the month of January super quickly or kind of slowly?
It's gone quick.
It's gone fast.
I feel like
fast.
Quick. Yeah, I feel like quick as well. And so habits, small disciplines, big results, been a great one to do that. Sunday was actually our last day in that series. Mm. And here's where we've been so far, kind of in a nutshell. Week one, you got to make sure that you put the who before the do. So who do you want to be before you start to figure out the way that you organize and structure your life with habits? Week number two,
Right. Let's
figure out who we want to be and some habits to start to get there. And week number three, who do we want to be and some habits to stop in order to get there as well. So then week four is kind of like a mix of good news and bad news at the same time. The bad news is you can't do it, but the good news is it can be done with a little bit of help. So Adam, give us a recap of where we went yesterday.
Yeah, no, that's a really good way to just put it of – if it all depends on our willpower, then that's probably why we've ended up stuck. It's why we feel powerless, because your willpower is a muscle, and it will eventually get fatigued. Now, you can build it up and build it up and build it up, but the true best course of action for a Christian is to say, not just my power, but this is God's power working through me.
Yeah.
And so we just kind of walk through those that kind of a big idea, and how can we learn to walk by or in the Spirit?
Sure. Yeah. Josh, as you're kind of thinking through, what are some things that stuck out to you?
I really liked the refrain. I guess it's the next question. But just change is not behavior modification. Real change is not that. It's spiritual transformation. That stuck out to me.
Mm-hmm.
I also appreciated the paraphrase from Vince Antonucci, is that how you say it?
That's so good.
That's
isn't
how it's going to be said on Sunday.
Antonucci.
Antonucci.
The double C would be the ch of the Italian is what it sounds like.
Like fettuccine.
Yeah, yeah. But just I love this. I am a slave to pizza and brownies. Oh no! Like, what a wretched man I am. You know, I didn't want to yell at my kids, but I did, and it really puts it into real life situations that we saw. Makes the Bible, not that it's not relevant, but just even more. Kind of everyday, it puts it in everyday language.
I like it
a lot. So those are a couple things. I really love how it, you know, if people have been with us the whole time, this really is the meat behind all of it. And Adam hinted at it last week.
Yeah.
Well, he said it every week.
Yeah.
Just, you know, it's not just about our willpower and things, but even more so last week and then even more so this week. Just, hey, if you really want change, there's more going on than just a few tweaks. And even it was interesting last week, you know, Adam, you said not Atomic Habits, Charles Duhigg,
correct,
talking about the real magic to this formula is you have to believe change is possible.
Correct.
And who better can believe that than Christians?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I was reviewing Duhigg this week and just looking through all the times that he mentions willpower, and that's really where he focuses on. It's, and for him, his purpose is developing habits so that you can increase your willpower that's going to allow you to do the things that you want to do. And, you know, as I read through it and look at the highlights and stuff, it's just like, man, that's really discouraging.
Right.
Because there will come a point whenever my willpower is going to give out. Like I can be in the best shape physically. And yet if you put more weight on the bar or ask me to do two more reps than I've ever done before, my muscle will give out. And that's willpower. Once again, it is a muscle. And so, yeah, we can increase the size of it. We can increase the strength of it. But at the end of the day, it's whenever we're saying to ourselves, this all depends on me. That's a really, really, I would probably use the word dangerous way. And I think that's why we end up in that defeated cycle.
Well, think
in the shame cycle.
Think about it even as like devotionally, right? So you get up early in the morning, you start that habit. I'm not going to snooze. I'm going to get up. For the kids, all that sort of stuff, spend time with the Lord. And you do that enough to establish a habit. And there is some of your willpower that it takes to do that. And what you experience at first is great. You feel connected to the Lord and all that sort of stuff. But then there's a late night that happens or a season of life that's just a little bit harder. So it's
you get sick.
You get sick or something happens. Yeah. And now all of a sudden you're out of the rhythm. And so in order to get back into the rhythm, it's not necessarily, oh, I need this because I need my connection with God. It's, I need this because I've got to check it off a list.
Right.
Right. And so it becomes something that isn't actually all that good for us too. So I think that's huge. Josh, I love what you pointed out first, just the difference between behavior modification and spiritual transformation. That's what stuck out to me a little bit as well, which is why I just want to start with that question. Just like what really is the difference between behavior modification and spiritual transformation? Because I think the two are somewhat connected, right? Because if we're going to be spiritually transformed, that is going to modify our behavior.
Correct.
But spiritual transformation is deeper, better, more effective. So talk to us a little bit about the differences between those two.
Well, for me, it's a cart before the horse. So if your goal is just to change your behavior, then that's a good goal, okay? But if that's where the willpower, changing our behaviors and all those other kind of things, they can just kind of fizzle out. But if my goal is, oh, here's another thought. If my goal is just change my behavior, then too, whenever I do that, I'm done.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so spiritual transformation is, I want to become more like Christ. I want to become more like Him. And that is a long-term, never completed goal.
Sure.
This side of heaven. And so it is always something that's like, God, keep transforming me, keep transforming me. Help me to work through this. Help me to grow through this and to keep going. And so I think that it's just it's the mindset, and I'd love to hear what you guys have to say, but it's just this mindset of where does my power come from and why do I want to change as well?
Mm-hmm.
You know, wanting to be a better dad, better leader, better husband, wanting to be free from addiction, wanting to be free from debt, wanting to be in shape. All those things are great goals, but why?
Sure.
And that's what I really appreciate what Groeschel does in the book. It's just like, well, what is the why? You know, and it is to become more like Jesus. It is because, you know, I love the way that he phrased it whenever he was talking about his diet and food and those things. It's because I want to run hard for years to come.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know I've got to take care of my diet so I can be healthy physically. It's because my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and there shouldn't be trash going into the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And so I don't know that it's like a 6 mile wide difference between behavior modification and
sure.
Spiritual transformation. To me, it's just almost like this slight little tick, slight little adjustment, just a couple of degrees more towards true north. And as we all know, if you're driving in a direction, a couple of degrees can make all the difference in the world.
Right. Well, what I hear you saying is spiritual transformation versus behavior modification is really just a better why and a better who.
Yeah.
The better who being, again, our conversation yesterday, not you, but God. Mm-hmm. And the better why being not just, oh, I feel like I need to do this, but actually kind of giving a better reasoning behind it. I'm doing this because of who God says that I am and who I want to be for Him.
It's towards the end of the book. Let me look it up. So, Josh, go ahead and you talk.
Yeah. So you actually use the verse, Adam, later in the sermon, Romans 12:2. And that to me is what I think of with transformation, because the word right there is transformed.
Right.
Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And if you look at the Greek, that word transformed is actually where we get the English word metamorphosis. And so part of what I'm thinking is behavior modification is something I can do on the outside of myself. I can put on different clothes. I can drive a different car. I can speak a different language. But transformation is something God does inside of me and my heart and my mind. And as you renew your mind in the scriptures in other ways, and you think about like a caterpillar to butterfly is the classic example of, of metamorphosis. I mean, yeah, the caterpillar does some part of that. Like it makes the cocoon, but then what does it do for, I mean, however long it stays in there? It sits.
Yeah.
And it's a work done to it. And it doesn't come out just looking like a different caterpillar. It comes out with wings.
Yeah.
And so there's a level of, I agree with what you said a while ago, Adam, about it's a slight mind shift. But I think part of it is actually, it's maybe a bigger shift. Mm-hmm. It's not just a little tweak. It's a transformation.
Yeah.
And God wants to make us new people. I read this morning, I think, or last night, I can't remember, just Ephesians, kind of until we reach the fullness of Christ. Like, God wants to do that in us. And that's, like, the fullness of Christ is not natural to us. That's a pretty big transformation.
Sure.
So, but it's possible.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and Groeschel talks in the book about this idea of so not who, I think.
Yep.
From so to who.
Yep.
You know, I want to do blank so I can blank so I can blank so I can blank.
Yeah.
And then it even goes further of saying, you know, my end goal is I want to start this new habit of this. Why? Because I'm becoming more like Jesus. And when I blank, I can this.
Yeah.
And
identity words.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a huge shift, a huge help. That was one of the chapters that, as I was reading through the book, I did the exercises through the end of every chapter, but that was one of the exercises that probably took me the most time because it kind of brought the most thought and reflection. So I was grateful for that chapter or part of the book as well. So really, really good. So super great stuff here. Just to recap what I hear both of you saying, because I think it's good. Josh, difference between behavior modification and spiritual transformation. One, I can do outside of myself.
Mm-hmm.
The other God does inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam, the difference really just is a better why and a better who. So we know already just why one works and the other fails is because the one that often fails is because we don't have a good reason why. And the who isn't strong enough eventually on our own. So just love all that stuff from yesterday. Then we get to our application, Adam, where we started talking through just like what real change, how real change is possible and isn't possible. I thought the way you laid that out was super simple to follow and really great as well. And so just 3 points, it was real change isn't God, then me.
Yeah.
Real change isn't God and not me. And real change is God through me. So let's talk through the first one right there. Real change isn't God and then me. So what are some examples of this and how do we sometimes fall into this thinking?
Yeah, this is to use... I guess a theological term, ideology term. This really is deism.
Yeah, that's what I thought of too
in the
sermon. Yeah.
This is, you know, so God saved me, but now he's just kind of left me alone and says, just go fix yourself.
Sure.
And so that's not what God does. That's terrible theology. How's that?
I agree.
Short and to the point.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's easy to fall into it because you think, well, I was saved and baptized as a young kid, but now I'm trying to parent now. I'm an adult. It's like, well, God is just as involved in this process.
Sure.
Right. And so it's just so easy to do. We tend to want, especially as Americans, to be individual competent at what we do, and we forget.
Yeah.
I think we're just naturally forgetful. And so it's easy to say, well, it all depends on me. That's a pretty natural one.
Right.
Yeah. And I pull myself up by my bootstraps. And
I mean, if I had to put myself in one of the categories, I more easily would go to being tempted to say God then me.
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't think I fall into the, God not me.
Right.
but it's easier for me to, I guess, forget about God's presence being there.
Do you think that this might be one of the reasons? This is just a question. I don't know if I would follow it completely even myself, but do you think that this is one of the reasons that we often sometimes slide towards legalism?
Absolutely.
Because we're like, yeah, it's God had his part, and now because God did his part, now I have to live this certain way in this right way and follow it strictly this whole entire time. And so we do get to this point to where it's like, I want to do my devotions, but it's not because I want to experience the presence of God. It's because I want to be a good Christian and I want to check these off my list.
And it's up to me to do it.
Yeah. Right.
And what is so tempting and about both of these bad examples is that there are kernels of truth in them.
Yeah.
Little t truth.
Sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So there is a level of personal responsibility of, yes, you do have to put yourself in the right environment. Yes, you do have to put in effort and do those things. It's the, I can't remember what it is off the top of my head because it's down here. It's 1 Corinthians 15. Paul says, I worked harder than anybody else.
I think that was so, I laugh at that line every time.
You know, but he's like, I did. Yeah. He's like, I put in the effort. Yet it wasn't me, but it was God working through me by his grace. That's verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 15. Yeah. And so he's not in this place of going, I didn't have to do anything. I just got to sit there, which is the second one.
Right.
It's like, I did work hard, but it is God working through me. Yeah. And so it's really change is God through me. You could almost say it's like a combination of those.
It's almost, those two. I'm picturing a teeter-totter in my head.
Yeah.
Like I saw this old picture on my phone. Me and Rosalie were on the teeter-totter years ago. And I'm thinking, basically, the third option is God through me. That's a perfect, kind of a perfect balance. And I know the illustration breaks down because God is
correct.
Is much more a part of this than we are. He's more powerful. He can save. We can't save ourselves. All that stuff.
Perfect example is a four-leaf clover.
Well, no. Yeah. It would be you and Rosalie on the seesaw or teeter-totter.
You find a balance where both of you are doing the part to get that to balance, where the first two mistakes is, you know, one side is all the way down.
Correct.
And then the other side is all the way down. And the pendulum has just swung so strongly both ways where we need to find the balance, the center of what the truth is.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And really, I mean, this is a different conversation, but a lot of Christian vices and virtues, really virtue just falls in the middle of two vices, you know, on pretty much all of them. So it's a different conversation, but
interesting.
The balance in the center of it is so important.
Every time that I've been on a, I always call them seesaws. Do you say teeter-totters?
I probably called them both.
Both?
Teeter-saws.
Teeter-saws. Sea-totters.
Sea-totters.
Sea-totters. No, but like picturing you and Rosalie on that together.
It's a funny picture.
It's a funny picture, but it also is like, who is actually the one that is making this happen?
Right.
Yeah, me.
You, right? So even whenever you're at the top and Rosalie has to push up, you are probably doing what?
Most of the work.
Most of the work, pushing down, right? And so
but we are certainly participating together.
But we're participating, right? And so Rosalie's still going to, as much strength as she has in her little legs, is still going to push up off the ground.
Yep.
And you're going to just like basically jump on the chair and come all the way down. So I think that's so good.
Paul was teeter-tottering with God.
I mean, he is. It's like, I'm putting in all this work. I'm working harder. I've worked harder than anybody else. But the results didn't come from my hard work. The results come from God working through me.
It's kind of like another illustration I've said before on the podcast when we went to the lake and we did the paddle boat.
Yeah.
Rosalie was, quote, paddling with me, but I was doing that work.
Yeah. No doubt. Josh, Adam's hinted at this verse a few times. Josh, why don't you go ahead and read it from front to end. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 through 10, what Paul says here.
All right. Yes. Let me get back there. Here it is. Okay. For I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. But whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out his special favor on me, and not without results. For I have worked harder than any of the other apostles, yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by his grace.
Yeah, I love it. So really two things Paul says here. He says, God has blessed me with all his grace and all his love and all his mercy, and I've worked really hard. And I actually used this word before you even put the teeter-totter seesaw into...
balance, yeah.
Here. It's like, what he does is he balances the mix between God's grace and his effort. He knows that his effort doesn't bring God's grace because he wrote about it in Ephesians. Mm-hmm. But he does know that the result of God's grace is going to bring about some sort of responsibility to work and to mm-hmm. put some effort in. And so we know that that's kind of the position we need to put ourselves in order to become who we want to be through the habits that we start and stop. But it just like, once we're in that position, how can we do that? How can we balance God's grace and effort as we kind of navigate our habits?
Yeah, and I think that's where it just flows into the idea of we walk by the Spirit.
Sure.
There was one word in that 1 Corinthians 15 passage that just, I don't know if it sparked joy or insight or just grabbed my attention, but it's the word results. I mean, there are results to all of this. And so I think that's what just kind of is the tension that we're trying to balance is we do want to see results. This is not a, you know, well, and because this is the, how did we phrase it? God, not me. This is not a, I don't have to try. I don't have to do anything like that. It's a, man, there can be powerful results through God's special favor whenever it is coupled through effort plus God's special favor, his grace.
Yeah.
And so I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. And I think just what I hear in the real change isn't God and then not me. So like God doing all the work and me not really doing anything. I mean, truthfully, what I hear is just like slothfulness and laziness. And
correct.
I mean, read a proverb of any chapter, and it's going to tell you that not really anything good is going to happen for the sluggard or for the sloth. And so you can't expect spiritual transformation to happen if you're just stagnant and still.
And God, not me, one of the reasons why that is such a bad idea is it flies in the face of reaping and sowing, which Paul says is it's a law. I mean, it really is. God cannot or will not be mocked. Man reaps what he sows.
Right.
And God, not me, is saying that that's not true.
Sure.
You know, that I can do X, Y, Z, and it's not going to matter. And God's just going to do something miraculously, you know, through me.
Sure. I love it. So walk by the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, Paul, again, he writes this time, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, which is encouraging even to think about habits, because if we're if we're mostly talking out of last week's message about habits we want to stop,
right?
Pretty much all of them are related to the desires of the flesh that we have, right?
Right.
And so we've got to learn to walk in and be led by the Spirit. You said yesterday, I thought that was super great. And there are some specific words that you threw out to kind of help us think through how we can do that. So why don't you tell us about those four real quick? And then
this just came straight from, I think it's part 5 of the book.
That's the last part.
But anyway, I just thought it was so good, so helpful. So there's pre-work and in the moment work. So pre-work is renew and remain. In the moment work is acknowledge and ask. And so the pre-work is all the stuff we're doing to prepare ourselves for the time whenever we are in that moment when the desire of the flesh shows up in our world. And so we've been renewing our mind through the scriptures, you know, through going through a lot of these exercises that we've been trying to help people walk through. Who do you want to become? Who do you think God wants you to be? You know, what's a habit you want to start? What's something that you want to stop? You know, by identifying those things, because you can't defeat what you won't define, or you'll never start what you don't define either. And so getting those things down so that you can have that before the moment, so you can have God's power in the moment. Remain is just John 15. It is, you know, I am the vine, you are the branches, you know, whoever remains in me and I in him, you know, those things. And so it's just learning to spend time with Jesus on a regular basis. And that's the pre-work that takes place. Mm-hmm. And then when the moment comes, we acknowledge the moment is here. God, I don't know how to do this. You know, this is either a temptation, or I feel like the old mental groove is starting to take over again. And the bad habit that I thought that I had been able to overwrite is now starting to come back. And so I'm going to acknowledge my weakness in being able to deal with this. And I'm going to ask you, as a good God and as a good dad, help me. Mm-hmm. Help me through this.
Yeah.
And so those are the in the moment works. I just thought it was just good stuff.
Yeah, Josh, add some thoughts to us as you're kind of thinking through all of these four things.
Well, all that's great. Obviously, straight from scripture, renew your mind, remain in the vine, and you'll produce fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, God wants us all the time to be honest. I think he hates pretentiousness more than just the actual, you know, the sin. Like Jesus said it this way, like, I didn't come to, like the healthy don't need a doctor, that the sick do. And so if we acknowledge that we're sick, then we can actually get help. Mm-hmm. We ask for help. I had this thought just now, like after we ask, I think we've got to listen, because I know I've been there before where I do ask for help. I hear an answer and I'm like, yeah, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And then I go and don't do it. And I have
regrets. Are you sure that's what you actually want?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
And then I have regrets later. And so not that we would add to the outline. It doesn't need that. But I think that the natural and obvious step is like after you ask, then you've got to shut up and listen and then be obedient.
Yeah.
Because
in addition to listen too, it is probably another way to phrase it would be you've got to lean into the power that he gives you.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we referenced the verse last week, not in the sermon, but just kind of around this table. 1 Corinthians 10, I think. Just no temptation has seized you except what's common, and God gives you the power, the way out.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's a promise that he gives us. So we got to lean into that and listen.
I love it. So there you go. There's a little fifth bonus content.
There you go.
Right there, adding a word to listen.
You all know, do you know that old hymn, I Need Thee Every Hour?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So kind of a cool thought. And I think a lot of times when we think about walking by the Spirit, you know, listening to his guidance, it's about avoiding the bad. But the I looked up this story a moment ago. And so the woman who wrote it, she said she was a 37-year-old mother. She was busy with her household, like regular household tasks, on a bright June morning in 1872, and then suddenly I became so filled with a sense of the nearness to the Master that she was wondering how I could live without him, either in joy or in pain. So I think that song balances the idea of walking by the Spirit, not just to avoid the bad, but like how could I live without him even in the good? I need thee in the joy and in the pain. So kind of a cool perspective there.
Yeah, I love it. Bottom line, if you change your behavior but don't change your heart, that stinky little behavior is going to come back. And that's my paraphrase. Just the behavior will come back. The challenge then that you asked this week is just how are you going to renew and remain? So I want to hang out on that one for a second before we get to some other stuff. For you guys, maybe what are some ways that you, in your kind of daily rhythms when you're at your best, renew and remain? And what are some ways and different suggestions and ideas, very practically speaking, that you would have for our people, how they can do this week to renew and to remain?
So renew and remain, what are the rhythms, habits?
Yeah, yeah. So let's get practical. How can our people do that this week?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's my morning routine. I mean, that's the big one for me of, you know, journaling, reading, scripture, silence, and those things. And I haven't made any large changes or even small changes to it this year. But there are a couple of things I'm considering of kind of like inserting into the routine or maybe even expanding it just a little bit. Like one of them, and it's probably something I should do. I just got to figure out how to habit stack it.
Yeah.
Okay. Is the midday prayer. That's, I mean, I've got morning, I've got evening. And is there a way, you know, where in my daily routine can I have it stack a time, you know, of just some midday reflection?
Yeah. Yeah. That one's tough for me as well, because my middays look different every day. So it's like, you know, Monday through Friday, there's no telling where I'm going to be and what I'm going to be doing at midday. So it's just that one is, as you're saying, it's kind of more difficult to habit stack.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's where I need to get to as well.
Maybe midday for you can be 2:30.
Yeah, 2:30.
Because that's really, right? I mean, CLC's over at that point?
Yeah.
So,
right.
No, I'm not trying to say anything, because that's something for me too. Not that we would try to guilt trip ourselves or anybody else if it's not a midday prayer.
Sure.
But I, you know, there's been times that I have been in that routine, and it's really put some good perspective. And so I say the same thing as Adam. I'm at my best when I'm waking up on time and doing my morning routine as well. For me also, I like to be active and outdoors. And so I think when I have the rhythm of like Sabbath and like taking some time to, like last spring, it was hiking a bunch, and not that I would necessarily do that every single week, but just to have some time where it's solitude and silence. And I enjoy that most kind of out in nature by myself. And so yeah, when I can add that, it really helps me as well.
Yeah. And another one just reminded, that just reminded me of like one of the habits I'm trying to do. And I haven't done this in a long time, is start listening to other preachers.
Yeah.
I stopped doing it because I can't remember how to phrase it or how they phrased it, but it's like, if you only listen to one, you become a parrot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you only listen to two, you become confused. But, you know, like three or four or more, yeah, then it's like you're actually doing research in a sense, in sharpening and being challenged. And so, you know, for me, like where I'm trying to habit stack that is whenever I go to the gym, instead of turning on a Chiefs podcast.
That's smart, yeah.
Of turning on a sermon, you know, listening to that.
Good. Sure.
Or just whenever I'm driving. Now, I will say this, there is a danger in that for me personally.
Okay.
Because it can keep me in a
work mode.
Can keep me in a work mode and not a rejuvenation mode.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am listening to something. It's like, oh man, I got to grab a note from that. I got to grab a note from that. That's a great way to phrase that. You know, how can I remember that versus just being able to recreate myself through recreation. So I've got to be careful. But that is something I'm considering.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good word.
All really, really good stuff for both renew and remain. Really. It's living life with the accompaniment of God's presence. That's what you do. So you sit with him, you sit with his people, you participate with his church. That's going to be the pre-work that renews and remains you so that you can get to the point whenever you are tempted to give up on a habit or to regress back to a bad habit, acknowledge that feeling and then ask the Lord for help. And God is faithful to answer. Scripture does tell us that whenever we are tempted, that he always gives us a way out.
He tells us whenever we don't have wisdom,
right?
If we ask, he will give it to us.
He will give it to us, guarantee. And so we hope that you've heard our heart for you this series. Now, this series did not even begin to scratch the surface of some of this conversation and some of the material that's out here. So we've got a little bit of time left, tried to hit some of that stuff super quick so that we could spend maybe 5, 7, 10 minutes talking through some bonus content. And I feel like bonus content needs a sound, but I don't know which one does which. So
yeah, I don't either.
Here we go. Bonus content.
Ooh. All right. You nailed it.
Look at that. I got the right one. Luke, bonus content.
You're such a great producer,
today.
Man.
No, not really. But anyways, Adam, you have been reading and researching a ton.
Yeah.
So, and you're flipping through some stuff right now. Why don't you just talk to us about some stuff?
Oh, man. There is so much that really could have been inserted. A lot of it's illustrative material that I just thought was just like, wow, that's just such a powerful way. So I'm not putting you guys are familiar with the book.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I listened to it. I listened to it, I think, end of last year.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
I just finished it last week.
Okay, great.
So I'm pretty fresh. I started it January and just finished it last week.
So, like, one of my favorite things was the, it's from the very beginning of the book, the Matthew McConaughey story. Whenever they asked him at 15 years old, they said, who's your hero?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, it's me in 10 years.
10 years, yeah.
It's me in 10 years.
Yeah.
And so when he turned 25, the same person asked him if he was now a hero. And he's like, no, now because my hero is me at 35 years.
Right.
And that mindset. Okay. Yep. Is just such a fantastic just mindset of, you know, they call it the future you mindset. You know, who do you want to become in the future? And just being able to identify that. And, you know, if we were going to try to shoehorn that into a message, it probably would have been in week one. But that concept of the who before do is really about getting this idea just like out in front of you. And for me, you know, I said from stage, like my goal is I want to run hard for 75 until I'm 75, not for 75 years, until I'm 75.
Uh-huh.
And so that's the future me that I'm looking at right now and just like going through a list of things of like, so if I'm going to do that, what do I need to do now?
Right.
You know, probably need to start doing annual physicals, you know, keeping an eye on cholesterol levels, diet, flexibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Movement.
That yoga.
Yeah. I haven't done that. But
doing some man yoga
for a
while.
I did do man yoga, which is a really funny thing.
Really weird phrase.
But
just by yourself, right? Yeah. Not like with other men.
Yes. Yeah. But it's just like I look at one of my heroes is Alan Algrim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, he's 75 years old and still can work you under a table kind of guy. And it's like, okay, I can kind of see some of the habits that he has, mm-hmm. that he's had in place for a long time. And so not that I'm just going to steal all of his, but I'm going to look at it and
right.
say, what is it that he's done that would work for me?
Yeah.
And so the idea of Future You is just like a great, 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 great idea mm-hmm. For me, because the idea is if you don't have a target, you can't do deliberate practice.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that just spoke to me so much because like I took a driver lesson, not driving, but like golf driver lesson a few months ago. And because I was just slicing everything, just horrible sky in it, just embarrassing. Losing probably 6-7 balls a round if I try to use my driver kind of
thing. Sure.
Hmm. So I went in and he's like, here's some feels that you need to work through. And then he would be like, okay, that's it. What you just did there is what you need to do. Hmm. He's like, now the problem is it's going to take, mm-hmm. you know, probably 120 to 200 swings just like that to get that grooved into your brain. And so the point being that if I just go out to a driving range and just grab my driver and it's just like, I'm just going to town, man. I'm just going
right.
to, I'm swinging from the heels. I'm going to just everything I can do. My only goal is to not hurt my back. then that's not helping me get better.
Right.
It's the deliberate practice that makes it there. And so that's what Future You is the
target. And I'll jump in here because, before I picked up the book, I felt like I was, I felt like I had a pretty good idea of Future You. And I've talked about that before, just like originally a couple years ago, picking up the Titan 5 thing and thinking through that. And now I've got those kind of, I've added the last one to just enjoy life. So I've got those six things that like, I want those things to be true of me by the time I'm finished. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I know what I want to work towards, but where this book and this whole conversation of habits really, really helped me is thinking through the deliberate practice of, so whenever I say that I want to cherish my wife,
correct.
Do I actually have a daily habit that's in place, a weekly
yes.
habit that's in place, a monthly habit that's
yes.
in place,
quarterly?
It gets yep. me to that point.
Yep.
And it really was like, well, not really, right? And so starting small, it's like, okay, well, how can I start doing this? Well,
yep.
now habit stacking, whenever I am finished with my Bible reading in the morning, I text Tristan a verse and a
wonderful.
Prayer, right? So it's like,
yep.
that's the habit that is getting me to that. So it's the deliberate, intentional
yep.
practice that's habit stacking and run all of my six things through there. And it's like, I'm starting to think through what are the daily and weekly and monthly and quarterly and
yep.
yearly
yep.
habits and rhythms that I need to add to my life. Not so that I can, but because of who God is calling me to be
yes.
and how I want to honor him. So that whole part of the book, so helpful to
1,000,000,000%, not even 100,000,000%, because like, so for our dads and grandparents who are out there listening right now, if like one of your goals is like, I want to be the grandparent or I want to be the dad that's leading his family spiritually.
Yeah.
Then habit stack it, just like you said. And so, let's make the assumption that we're going to have 2 minutes of reading every single day. Whether that is, hopefully it's Bible. Maybe there's some devotional stuff,
sure.
you know, that you got in there. And at the end of that, is there a sentence that just kind of grabbed your attention while you're reading it? And can you send that off to your family? Can you send that off to your grandkids and just yeah. say, hey, this struck me today.
Truthfully, even knowing that I'm going to send the text has actually helped me mm-hmm. focus on the text,
yep.
Like on the actual words that I'm reading
yep.
even more, because I'm looking. Mm-hmm. It's not like I'm trying to look for something that's like, oh, that's the one that I'm going to send or anything like that. But I am more attentive to what I'm actually reading because
yeah.
I know that I'm going to be taking it.
Yeah. Now, the shadow yeah. side of yeah. it is that what our flesh does is it starts to make us read to just try to find
right.
the verse. So
right.
it is a I know the good I need to do.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. kind of thing. So
yeah.
I thought that was such a huge thing. One of my favorite sections that did not get even remotely touched on. in the series.
Yeah.
Was part two. And the difference between I'm trying and I'm training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That
so
was
good.
so just like helpful. Because what we do is like, well, I'm trying to become more disciplined, or I'm trying to get better at what I'm eating, or I'm trying to get better at physical shape, or I'm trying to get out of debt. And what he's saying is you've got to start looking at it that it's like, no, I'm training myself to do these things, because that the problem is if you've got $37,000 of student loan debt, it's not going to be gone in the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Most likely. I mean,
yeah.
Unless something crazy happens, it's probably going to take you, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I don't know. It just depends on where your finances are and how you're able to make those other things. And so why those things can be so defeating is because it's like, golly, I'm trying to do this and I don't feel like I'm making any progress. But the way he phrased it is winners don't try, they train.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, no, I'm in training. I'm doing this to help get these things going on. And that it's basically pages 61 through 68, 69, something like that. And it was just like, oh, wow, that was so helpful there. And I loved what he said here. And I know we've got to keep moving the time along. But he says, whenever I try, I do what I can do in my strength. And trying can keep me from allowing God to give me his strength so he can do in and through me what I cannot. Which actually goes to the end of this message.
Yeah, just right there. Yeah. Josh, what about you? You read it a year ago, but you've refreshed up on it over the last few weeks. What are some extra things or some important things that have been helpful for you and that you thought were just really great?
Well, one positive is listening to it. You can hear Groeschel talk. That's just
so much fun.
That's just inspirational every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I feel like with him, it's almost like whatever you listen to or read from him, he has put in practice and he's good at it. He's a good, we were talking about him last night in my Wednesday night class, just how he's a good leader, but he's been at it for a while now and he doesn't have a scandal or anything like that. Like he's above board. What I really appreciate it is just the practical, everything is so easy to, he has a way with words. They rhyme. There's practicality. There's manageable steps you can do. He puts it into bite-sized pieces. So I know I'm kind of beating around the bush, but there's just, it's a very practical, easy to read book that really gets it there. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
I'll tell you another one that just flipping through, looking at my major highlights. Like the idea of making your habit your win means that you can win every day.
Right.
That's what we were talking about last week. That was really big for me.
Yeah. That one was just, and I know.
Yeah. So it's, you know, I might be $37,000 in student loan debt.
Correct. But I used my debit card instead of my credit card.
I used my debit card instead of my credit card. I made coffee at home instead of swinging by Dunkin' or Starbucks. I did all of these things, and that in the long run is helping.
And I was able to send an extra $50 down on the payment.
Right.
And it may not feel like much right now, but those small wins over time add up.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely. So it's that's really cool.
Yeah, and even so you think about it in life change, there is going to come a point, I don't care how strong you are, you're probably not going to get stronger. Like you'll reach a limit at some point physically or not that much stronger. Like I remember in high school running track, my time for the 400 meter dash went down a lot from eighth grade to ninth grade. And then significantly from ninth to 10th. And then a little bit less from 10th to 11th and minuscule from 11th to 12th. Because you get a certain speed and you're like, I can't really. You know, there's only so much that this body can do.
Right.
Outside of chemical enhancement.
Exactly. Right? Like, I'm playing with a deck God gave me, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so what is super helpful about make the habit the win is like, all right, well, I'm an active person. I exercised. It doesn't matter that, you know, I can't lift 30 more pounds this week than I did last week. That's not really a manageable goal anyway.
Right.
But I was active and I was being good to my body and I did eat right or whatever. So that's, I win.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's a helpful mindset for sure.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
We cannot recommend this book enough. If you haven't picked it up, you need to pick it up. It's a really, really helpful one.
Yeah. And I believe there's still a few copies at the
Resource Center. Yeah.
I believe.
Absolutely.
I think there's a handful there still.
Mm-hmm. So
otherwise do the Amazon.com thing.
Amazon.com. So Hey, let's wrap it up with a little bit of fun today. We're going to play, I don't know the official name for this game, so I'm calling it the name game. I'm going to give you a category, and you guys are competing against each other where you have to start naming things in that category one after the other. If one of you repeats something that's already been said, you lost that round. If one of you hesitates for more than like a 3 to 5 second window, then you've lost that round. Okay, so I'll give you the first category. And Josh, why don't you kick it off? Adam coming in after him and back and forth. The first category is simple, just colors. Okay, so colors.
Red.
Blue.
Yellow.
Green.
Orange.
Purple.
Brown.
Violet.
Black.
White.
Teal.
Navy.
Indigo.
Magenta.
Pink.
No. Yeah, I'm done.
All right, there we go. We'll give that one to Josh.
I was going to say peach.
3 to 5 seconds.
Yeah. Coral.
Coral.
Okay, cool. So Josh is on the board there, okay? Fast food restaurants. Adam, start.
Me first?
Start this time, Adam.
Okay. Whataburger.
Chick-fil-A.
McDonald's.
Wendy's.
Burger King.
Jack in the Box.
Arby's.
Freddy's.
Huey Magoo's.
Dairy Queen.
Brewster's. I don't know this technically.
Hold on. Let's.
There's no food there.
Yeah, Brewster's? let's call that one.
You'd
Josh
have to get an ice cream
name.
Sandwich and call that food.
Yeah, we'll let Josh grab that one. Brewster's is.
Oh, I was stressing
different
there.
Genre.
Yeah.
All right. NFL teams. I believe Josh, you start this time.
We'll get through all 32.
I don't think you will. I think you'll stutter for a minute.
Okay. Seattle Seahawks. I'll start with the nemesis.
You don't have to say the city. You can just go. You can go city or team.
Okay. Niners.
Cardinals.
Chiefs.
The Rams.
Giants.
I'm trying to do divisions here.
Yeah.
Okay. Eagles.
Jets.
Commanders.
Patriots.
Dolphins.
Bills.
Bengals.
Steelers.
Cowboys.
Packers.
Texans.
Panthers.
Falcons.
Buccaneers.
Saints.
Let's see. Raiders.
Jets.
Broncos.
Oh, you already said Raiders.
I already said Jets.
I was going to say
you
Oilers.
You said Jets already.
Oh, okay. Come on, Luke, man. I'm struggling over you.
All right. Yeah. I was just so enthralled with the talent of you guys. Okay.
32 quarterbacks. Go.
This one. This one's going to be fun. Books written by either Craig Rochelle or Timothy Keller.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Who's first?
Adam.
All right.
All right, Hope in the Dark.
It.
Alter Ego.
Songs of Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Reason for God.
The God's Wisdom for Navigating Life.
Okay, The Art of Self-Forgetfulness.
Center Church.
Ooh, that's a good
one. That's
a
big one.
Lead Like It Matters.
Hidden Christmas.
Prayer.
Ooh, The Meaning of Marriage.
Ooh, that's a good one, too. From This Day Forward.
Dangerous Prayers.
Oh, that's a good one. Soul Detox.
All right, I'll give up.
Yeah! All right, there we go. I just love how the beginning of
Ooh,
every...
Ooh, that's a good one.
Ooh, that's a good one. Ooh, that's a good one. And I think Adam named more Groeschelle and Josh named more Keller, which is how I would have guessed that would have
probably.
Gone about.
Yeah,
because
probably.
I know that we all read a lot of them, but yeah. I think that you probably
I was just looking
more Groeschelle.
I was going through my bookshelf in my office, so
that's a good way to do it. Yeah.
You guys both missed the one we're going through. You didn't do the power to change.
Well, that's too obvious.
Or winning the war on your mind.
Oh, that's a good one.
So yeah, that's a good one. That's a good
one. It's two to two.
Basically, Timothy Keller and Craig Groeschelle wrote
everything.
You read it. Yeah, you read it. Okay, we'll do one more to break the tie. I'll give you guys the
Gordon
choice.
McDonald books.
Oh, Ordering Your Private World is the only one I know.
I put three different categories here. We're going to do one of them, so you guys choose. Current NBA players.
Ooh.
And I feel like that one's going to be...
No, you would win that one.
I would win that
I'm
one,
done.
But you're
I don't
right.
know anybody.
Characters from The Office or brands of clothing. Which one do you guys want to do?
Let's do The Office. I think sure. That's probably a fair game because I don't know any basketball guys.
Characters either. From The Office and Josh starts us.
Ooh. All right. Michael Scott.
Creed.
Dwight.
Jim.
Angela.
Pam.
Stanley.
Phyllis.
What's his name?
Yeah!
I think that's the hesitation right there. Who are you trying to think of?
Toby.
Yeah. Goodbye,
Toby. Yeah. That one.
The best part is that the first character Adam said was Creed.
Yeah.
You know?
That dude's so weird.
He's weird, man.
He's a great TV character, though.
Oh,
yes.
Man.
Yes. Sure. All right. So there you go. Hey, this has been a really good one. Next week, we start a brand new series called Ecclesiastes. Well, called Living Life Backwards.
Right.
It's through the book of Ecclesiastes.
Yes.
Adam, give us a 20-second commercial for this.
Yeah, it really is a secret part two to the series we just went through. Because if habits are the things that we need, then what Ecclesiastes teaches us is that we have to begin with the end in mind.
Sure.
And so it won't be a rehashing by any stretch of the imagination, but the principles are there that our days are numbered. And so Psalm 90 says, teach us to number our days so that we might gain a heart of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what it is. That we're start at the end and say, okay, now how do we live backwards from there?
I love it. I'm excited. We're there for how many weeks?
Four.
So 4 week and 4 week. What a time to be alive. I was joking around with Jeremy. And I told him that for the 4 weeks that we're in this series, we need to do the do our services backwards.
Oh, there you go.
So start with the sermon and then roll everything so that the very last thing we do is welcome everybody in.
There you go. Or we can just go emo.
Yeah.
Which is really old. I don't know if
that word's stand on the stage backwards.
Yeah. Something like that. We're excited about that series and excited to get you back in for another weekend of worship together and another episode of Corinth in Your Car next week. So until then, get those habits started. Start with the who before the do. And remember that you can't do it, but good news, with God's power, you can. So we love you, and we'll see you next week.
Absolutely. We'd love to hear, too, any habits you've started.
Yeah.
Share them, man.
Sure.
We'd love to hear it.
Absolutely. So make sure to comment, like, subscribe, share the podcast, all the good stuff. We'll see you later.